last week with just a little bit of snow. They had a lot of snow in France. In fact, a lot of Europe, if you saw the news, a lot of Europe was shut down from England all the way over to the Mediterranean, just and up into Germany and all, just lots and lots of that white stuff. So once again, continuing in the tradition here at the Peninsula Vineyard, we don't have a lot of traditions other than maybe drinking a lot of coffee and eating a lot of food and getting together with friends and family. But lighting the candle and to celebrate Advent, the coming of Jesus. And last week, it was the Sunday of Hope. Just lower the pre-gain. Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's fine. And last Sunday was the Sunday of Hope, and we talked about that, and hope being an anchor for our soul. That Jesus Christ is indeed that anchor. He is the glue. He is the one that is our foundation. He is the one that holds us fast. Though all this stuff might be going on around us, we cannot give up hope. And he is the anchor for our soul. And boy, I'll tell you what, I've been tested in the last 2 weeks with some stuff, personally and extended family and that sort of thing. And this morning we're going to be talking about peace. That's the second candle. And you can go ahead and open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is one of those famous Christmas verses that's in Handel's Messiah. We probably all know it. It's on greeting cards. We see it. We hear it every Christmas season. And it just pops up constantly. And what comes to mind when you hear peace? I know for me, a lot of times I'll think of the long-haired hippies, you know, peace, you know, the peace sign, or that the peace symbol, you know, that's made a big comeback, that peace symbol, and even the peace sign, you know, whether they're, you know, they call that, you know, flashing the deuce or whatever. It's, you know, it's all about peace and that. But my mind goes to that hippie. You know, the hip with the beads and the flowers and the peace movement and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And peace does have that connotation. You know, there is that idea, you know, the peace, you know, when they were fighting, when they were going against and protesting the Vietnam War, or the peaceniks of today that maybe are opposing war, or they, you know, they oppose violence against women. They just want to see peace. And that's a part of it. It's a really big part of it. But here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." These are the titles, of course, of Jesus. That little baby born in Bethlehem, the lineage of King David, came to be the Messiah. He wasn't the Messiah that the Jews were expecting at that time. They were hoping for this great deliverer to come in and destroy Rome and to set up his kingdom so that the Messiah would rule and reign, that the theocracy and that Israel's king would be glorious throughout the world and there'd be peace and the government would not end and da-da-da-da-da. That's not how it happened. He didn't come in like this mighty king. He came in the most vulnerable way. Friday night we had a celebration of little Abigail, the Brandon and Jessica's little baby girl, and I was so taken when Jess asked me if I wanted to hold her. I said, "Of course." And you know, she came to me, and I said, "Well, how do I do this? Because you know, I don't hold babies very often. How do I do this?" And she said, "Oh, come on, you know, just take this." And I just, you know, and she's like, "Well, that's exactly how you do that. You've done this before." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, but it's not a familiar thing for me." And but just to hold this little baby girl, so tiny, so vulnerable, and my mind was taken to Jesus coming in that way. Here's the Messiah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you remember, we talked about from Colossians last week. If you look in Colossians, he is the one who made it all. Colossians is the one that proves that Jesus Christ is indeed God. He is indeed the Creator. If you go through each chapter, you can find those verses that Paul outlines for the church at Colossae. It's incredible. Just standing in Tom and Kelly's living room and holding this little baby, this tiny little thing. And that's how Jesus entered into the world, this tiny, tiny little baby, vulnerable to the elements, vulnerable to big feet trampling around, vulnerable to the animals that were in there. He didn't come as this great, mighty king. Yet Isaiah tells us here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, these titles that this little baby would receive. And one of those is the Prince of Peace. To be a prince, little girls grow up their whole life hearing fairy tales, you know, the knight in shining armor. Their Prince Charming is going to come and rescue them. That's a load of garbage, you know, that fairy tales have put on women, you know, this idea that this guy is going to be a knight in shining armor and be a prince. I don't know about you guys, but I ain't no prince. I'm a toad. And a lot, don't agree with me, you know, but that's just how I feel a lot of times. Ain't no prince. There's no shining armor. If there's any armor at all, it needs to be polished up. The dents need to be pounded out. And what's inside doesn't always feel like a warrior, doesn't feel like a rescuer. But Jesus, this little baby, came as a prince, the Prince of Peace. Sometimes we talk about, what do you want for Christmas? You know, as we are here in this Christmas season, and one of my friends from way, way back said, all she wants for Christmas is world peace. And I commented and said, was that world peas? You know, the frozen peas in a blender kind of thing. And she's like, well, probably got, you know, better off, we're going to try to get that. You know, it's easier to get world peas than it is to get world peace. But we all want peace. And not just at Christmas. You know, there's so many times in our life when there's stuff going on. Just, you know, John Lennon said, man, just give me some peace. Won't you just give me some peace? You know, we want to see an end to conflict, an end to struggle, an end to war. We want to see peace in our finances. We want to see peace in our homes. We want to see peace in our neighborhoods, in our community. You know, several weeks ago, it's been maybe a month and a half, Tam and I were up in bed and we were, you know, just on that verge of falling asleep. In fact, I was asleep and she was just about there, and I was awakened and by the sound of gunfire coming from the street behind the 7-Eleven. And I said, Tammy, did you hear that? She goes, yeah. And she counted 13 rounds fired off. And I was like, okay, well, that's bigger than the usual 22. And you're like, the usual 22? Yeah, because, you know, around New Year's Day and certain holidays and 4th of July, there's somebody in the neighborhood that fires off a 22. You know, and being from Las Vegas, you know, going through some of the neighborhoods, the Hispanic communities, that's what they do. You know, it's like, all right, it's a holiday, let's go out there. It's, you know, no big deal. But to hear something that's a little bit larger, we want peace in our community. You know, we don't want to hear about gunshots and stabbings and, you know, the violence that takes place. We want to see peace. And the kind of peace that Jesus brings is not necessarily that kind of peace. It's not always going to be an absence of conflict or an absence of struggle. He brings a peace that passes our understanding. When there's stuff going on around you, I remember, you know, talking with John, you know, there's stuff going on when he was in Iraq. There's just this, you know what to do. You're not freaking out by the fire, the mortar, and the IEDs or the shells, the rounds going off around you. Yeah, sure, his heart may be racing. He may, you know, there's adrenaline kicks in, but there's something. You just do what you're supposed to do. And I've seen that in people. I've seen that in peace officers, in police. I've seen that in paramedics. You know, when I would be freaking out at something going on the side of the road, you know, at a terrible accident, and they're just doing their job. You know, I guess they freak out later. Yeah. You know, but there's just that. So God can give us a peace that passes all understanding. Someone else can look and go, how can you be so calm? You should be pulling your hair out right now. You should be freaking out. You should be experiencing some kind of, you know, blah. But there's peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 7. The peace of God that transcends all knowledge, all understanding. That's what I want to reign in my heart. Does it? Not all the time. Why? Because I'm a guy. I'm human. I take a lot in. There's a lot of things to filter. And sometimes it can get overwhelming. So we need to take time to do what it says in Psalm 46:10. We need to take that time to be still. At Water Country, where I work, we've got a big, giant retention pond that's out in by the employee entrance. And it's really cool in the summertime to see all these geese and the blue heron. There's one blue heron that kind of takes up residency there and a flock of geese. And in the morning when it's still and calm, looks like glass. And then maybe one of the geese will just kind of be flying in and then land, and it's, you know, it stirs up the water. And then pretty soon it's calm again. Until for whatever reason the goose gets in its head, oh, I need to be somewhere else, and begins its, you know, flight, and there's little web feet doing its thing on the top of the water, and it starts to splash and takes off. And then pretty soon that calm comes again. We need to be still and know that He is God. There's going to be times when that little pond gets disturbed, when there's splashing, when there's more than just little ripples from the wind. And that peace comes from spending time with God, taking all the stuff that we have and taking it before Him and saying, Dad, I can't handle this. I can't handle this stuff. This is too overwhelming. I've messed this up. And He can say, I'll give you peace. And it's a peace that you can't comprehend, you can't understand. The peace that we use, it's rooted in the Roman word pax, the pax romana, the Roman peace. And it was a time in Rome when there was no fighting. Why? Because Rome had gone out and defeated everybody in the known world. Except for India. No, that was the other guy. That was Alexander. See, I'm just testing you all. But Rome had gone through and they had, you know, they had beaten everybody. And so there's going to be peace. The Pax Romana, the Roman peace. But the peace that the Bible talks about, there's a word that you've probably all heard. Shalom. It's kind of like in Hawaii, they have aloha, which you say when you're coming in and when you're going out. It's the same thing in the Hebrew with shalom. You say it when you're coming in. You walk into an establishment or shalom. And when you're leaving, shalom, shalom, shalom. You know? And it means more than just peace, man. Peace, brother. It means it's more than just an absence of conflict. When somebody says shalom, that word peace is about peace in our homes, the relationships that we have with our spouse, with our children, our extended family, whatever, our neighbors. It's peace with our animals. It's peace in our finances, within the bank, our jobs. It's peace in relationship with our employer, with our fellow workers, with our employees, if we're a manager or a business owner. That shalom encompasses the entire sphere of our existence. God wants us to have peace in the entire, throughout our entire being, in every area of our life, so that at all times, no matter what's coming up, we can still have peace. We can be ready to act and react without the emotion. Why? Because we have our soul is anchored in the hope of Jesus Christ. And he builds on that by giving us peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you." This was Jesus talking to his disciples. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." See, don't let it be in this constant state like a pond, you know, or a white water. If you've ever gone white water rafting, or you've been up to Niagara Falls or any kind of falls, waterfalls, and you've seen that white water where it's just churning stuff up constantly. There's no rest. It's beautiful. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And, you know, having been to Niagara Falls and being on rapids, there are times where, man, that can just put me at peace because it's so powerful. And it makes me feel so insignificant, so small, kind of like Abigail, you know, in my arms the other night. Just, wow, this is magnificent. This is beautiful. This is power. But he wants our hearts like that pond, like a gentle lake, you know, just glass. Whiskeytown Lake up in Northern California, one of the clearest lakes that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you can be in one spot and it's 6 or 10 feet down and you can see the bottom. It's clear as glass all the way down. What a beautiful, you know, but calm until the water skiers come by. And then it stirs up a little bit, then it goes back. But Jesus says here, do not let your heart be troubled. That word let, we've talked about it before, that word let means allow. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. See, we can have self-control. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? Self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Don't let your heart be troubled. I need to take that medicine myself. How often do we let our heart be troubled? When the phone rings and we see it, you know, the little caller ID, and it's some credit card company, the bank, the power company, or that person that you've not wanted to talk to about something. Or when you're at work on Thursday and your supervisor gives you a call and says, "Don't say anything, but a letter is circulating that there's going to be some changes within the company." Okay? Don't let your heart be troubled. And then he says, "Keep it under your hat." Okay. The boss just wants us all to be aware in case there's scuttlebutt going around amongst the rest of the community at work. Okay, not a problem. I can keep my big mouth shut. Then you get a phone call from one of the other supervisors at the other location, and he says there's a meeting. It's not required that you attend, but it's suggested that you come. I want to encourage you to be there. Okay. Then we go check our scuttlebutt sources and say, "Y'all going to this meeting? What's it about?" And of course, they spill the beans. And if you've seen the papers or you read the news or anything about, there's been a lot of stuff going on around the United States with downsizing and restructuring, and where the president thought that unemployment was going to be going down for the last quarter, it's actually gone up. And the organization. organization that I work for has cut their workforce by 350 people. And that's a lot of people that are affected. So how do you not let your heart be troubled? You know, I could say, well, I got to keep my job. I got to keep my position. But it's still not sure. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us do. Don't let your heart be troubled. And my heart moves for those who were cut. And I pray for peace and provision. And that God would use this window, this time, as an opportunity in their life to be able to reach out and say, Lord, what do I do now? So, you know, we don't put our hope in the U.S. economy. We don't put our hope in the stock market. We don't put our hope in horses, in weapons. And no, it says put your trust in Israel, or the God of Israel. Put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hope in him. He's the anchor. And then we have peace in him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. This was one that the Lord kind of opened up my eyes to about 2 years ago, just before this particular time that we gather together. Advent Sunday. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, and I always thought, you know, yeah, it's part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Okay? Like I said, it's part of the Beatitudes. That's how we're supposed to be a peacemaker. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I had this epiphany, and if you all knew this beforehand, humor me, you know, because I'm a toad, so I'm coming along slowly. But peacemaking is actually work. It's laborious. Sometimes when we make things, there's sweat involved. If you're making bread by hand, you know, and you're doing all the kneading, or if you're making taffy, or if you're a carpenter or a painter or a landscaper, even, you know, those that work in an office, if you're a homemaker, if you're a mom, if you're a teacher, there's things that we do in our making and in our doing that is laborious. We get tension headaches. We get sore muscles. We get sore joints. We sweat. Sometimes we get stinky. Peacemaking isn't always an easy task, because sometimes we go up against those that don't want to have peace. Okay, well, you say your peace a couple of times, and after that, you know, you wipe your dust off your feet and you move on to someone else. Maybe the Lord will come around. You'll come around to that person again a second or third time later on, or someone else will. But making peace can be laborious. It's work. Sometimes it's hard. But that's what Jesus has called us to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. And if all else fails, of course, there's that peacemaker. No, I'm just kidding. That tamed the West. James chapter 3, verse 18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace. In other words, sowing. Attention. Sowing has to do with, you know, putting out the seeds, right? Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's that work. It's just planting seeds. It's planting seeds of peace. It's smiling in the face of opposition, offering a kind word, doing the stuff that a lot of times you and I can't do in our own strength, right? We can love our family. Well, sometimes we can love our family. We can love a few of our neighbors. Some of them we can't. We sure can't love our enemies, though he tells us to. And we can't love those people that have wronged us, though it says. So some things we can only do through his strength. And some things are a continuous, daily process. retribution, not looking for revenge, not looking to get something back. You know, one of the things that in our meeting that the general manager had said that he had called local folks to let them know what was going on. Because whenever there's something like this, some people can have a little screw loose and want to get revenge. And when they lose their job after 5, 10, 15, 20 years of loyalty. You know, we've seen it on the news time and time again where somebody, something happens, you know, the company is being shut down or they're closing out a department. One out of 100 walks in. You know, we don't want to see that. So sowing in peace, it's a process and it's work. As I was praying about this Sunday morning, I was like, you know, Lord, we've done this topic so many times, you know, peace and peacemakers and all that. What is there anything new that you want to show me? What's new? What something that changes here? And it has to do with that first verse from Isaiah 9:6, Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And I thought about that a prince is the son of a king. He's the Prince of Peace, and he came to bring peace between you and God, his Father, between me and the Father. Remember, he has a ministry of reconciliation that he's passed on to you and I. That's why he calls us peacemakers. And wants us to do that, to be reconcilers, to point people in the direction, you can be at peace with God. You can have peace with him. The Italian side of me wants to have pizza with him. But you can have a pizza with God. Yeah. Blessed are the pizza makers. Yeah, okay. I did that for Jeffrey. As the Prince of Peace, he has come representing his Father and has opened up a way for his creation to once again be at peace with the Father. As we sang this morning, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every person, every man, woman, and child, it doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, our class or caste, our upbringing, our background, who our parents are, anything. He's come to make peace between us and the Father. So this holiday season, just allow the peace of God that passes understanding to enter into your heart, into every situation, every circumstance. It's a tough thing to do because it requires work, you know. And be ready, be available to be a peacemaker with those in your community. When we went out with the youth downtown Newport News to do the homeless ministry last Tuesday night. Right, it was last Tuesday night we went. And there was a point when we ran out of food. Actually, we ran out of sandwich stuff. And so Jeffrey said, you know, should we go get some more stuff? And about the time he said, should I go to the store and buy some more lunch meat and bread? We were at the Warwick Hotel. We had done our work at the outside on the street and underneath the bridge. And had gone, one of the homeless people had recommended we go to the Warwick Hotel that houses about 85 people who are, they're single occupancy residents. They get some subsidy from the government, low income, but they have been homeless. This is kind of a transition zone, the Warwick Hotel. And Tammy and I have looked, and it's like, we need to duplicate this thing in the city on the peninsula, Hampton Roads, and around the United States to help people who have lost their homes, to get them off the streets and to have a place where they can go. And if you haven't seen it or heard it, the Warwick Hotel, it's on Warwick down by the shipyard. But as Jeffrey, you know, should I go get some more sandwich, you know, some more bread and lunch meat? It's like, well, I don't know. And about that time, the doors opened up, and here comes, you know, another dozen people. And then another, and it's like, oh my gosh, their word is getting through this place. They're coming. So he's like, I'm just going. So he went. And I think that night, I want to say it was over 100. Do you remember, Clarissa? Between the people that were under the bridge and out on the street and within the Warwick Hotel. So just this little band of, you know, eight youth and a couple of adults, you know, Jeffrey and Tammy and me, going down there to minister to these folks. That's part of making peace, you know, because it's all races of people, you know, different races going down there and working together and helping each other, lifting each other up within the community. So that's part of being a peacemaker. Father, I want to thank you for the time that we have here this morning. And it is no coincidence that on this Sunday, when we talk about peace in this Advent season, that we would also be partaking in communion. For Lord Jesus, you've come to open up that dialogue between humanity and the Heavenly Father, and you've made a way for peace. We thank you for these emblems, for the bread that represents your body that was broken, beaten, and hung on Calvary's cross. Lord, you came as that little baby, helpless and susceptible to the elements and susceptible to everything that surrounded you. You were vulnerable. And as an adult, as a full-grown man, you willingly lay down your rights and your power and your authority. And you went to that cross willingly. You gave your body up for us. And Father, for the emblem of the wine, the juice, symbolic of your blood that was poured out, and with your blood, Lord, you once again anointed the earth, the soil from which we all come. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Lord, as your blood dripped down onto Calvary, you were, in essence, cleansing the earth and cleansing humanity. So this morning we receive your bread and your wine, and we remember your sacrifice on Calvary. As you've made peace between us and the Father, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to continue to make peace in our homes, to make peace in our jobs, to make peace in our communities. Be with our friends down in downtown Newport News, Lord, as the temperatures have dropped down considerably, and the ice and the snow that may be pretty, but they can't all escape that cold. So I just ask that you would be with them and help us to continue to be a part of the community that helps to provide for them. Lord, use your church here and our friends up the street and sister churches in Hampton and on the peninsula just to meet those needs. Be with our pastor again as he travels. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, go with us today and throughout this week. Help our eyes to be open for opportunities to be peacemakers. Help us to acknowledge that you have made peace between us and the Father. Help us to be open and receptive to what you want to show us throughout this week, Lord. And we give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all go in peace. Be blessed. Have a great week. And maybe see you on Wednesday night.